Councilmember Hutchins.
Here.
Mayor Schumaker.
Here. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So next on the agenda is a proclamation, and I will read this out. Whereas in federal fiscal year 2021, 3.9 million reports were made to Child Protective Services, and whereas child abuse and neglect is a serious problem affecting every segment of our community, and finding solutions requires input and action from everyone, and whereas our children are our most valuable resources and will shape the future of the city of Simpsonville, and whereas child abuse can have long-term psychological, emotional, and physical effects that have lasting consequences for victims of abuse, and whereas protective factors are conditions that reduce or eliminate risk and promote the social, emotional, and developmental well-being of children, and whereas effective child abuse prevention activities succeed because of the partnerships created between child welfare professionals, education, health, community, and faith-based organizations, businesses, law enforcement agencies, and families, and whereas communities must make every effort to promote programs and activities that create strong and thriving children and families, and whereas we acknowledge that we must work together as a community to increase awareness about child abuse and contribute to promote the social and emotional well-being of children and families in a safe, stable, and nurturing environment, because prevention remains the best defense for our children and families. And now, therefore, I, Mayor Paul Schumaker, do hereby proclaim the month of April as National Child Abuse Prevention Month for the city of Simpsonville, and urge all citizens to recognize this month by dedicating ourselves to the task of improving the quality of life for all children and families. In witness whereof, I have set my hand and caused the seal of the city of Simpsonville to be affixed this 28th day of March in the year of our Lord, 2023. Thank you. Next on the agenda is citizen comments. We have had one person sign up to deliver comments this evening. Before we do that, City Clerk Clark, will you have the record reflect that Councilmember Gooch has arrived and joined us tomorrow?
Yes, Mayor.
Mr. O'Rear, you can sign up for public comment. Please approach the podium. You will have 3 minutes. All right, if you will state your name and address and begin your comments.
Chad O'Rear, 334 Jonesville Road here in Simpsonville, right around the corner from us. I think y'all know why I'm here, because, you know, I'm not going to go away. It's been a fun weekend for me. Sorry, by the way, I'm a little tardy. I'm glad I got up here because I had a friend that we had been at the hospital today, and I'm one of his caregivers. So I'm glad to just be here. I hope he is with us. But going through all my paperwork, I'm still awaiting some paperwork from other FOIA requests that should be coming in a timely manner in preparation for the impending legal situation we're going to have with the closure of Hunter Street. You know, it's come to my attention, I'm not well followed by about four of you here, and I just want to let y'all know, I have no personal animus to anyone here. I just want my government to behave, and the government has not behaved as their actions with the closure of Hunter Street. You can say what you'd like about how you did things, but I think everyone knows, and we're gonna find out soon enough what the legalities were. And I think everyone knows y'all overstepped, understepped, didn't step. It was very interesting going through the 1,000 pages, of which at least 500 were redundant, but I got charged about $300 for it. And which is fine, I knew that going into it, but when you wade through a lot of stuff, you read everything, and it was interesting to see how both sides were treated in this process. Our side was kept completely in the dark while there was coaching going on from the council to the folks at League of States. active coaching, telling them what, where to be, what to say, what to do, whose relative they should be talking to, whose ear they should get into, you know, to keep the, just keep this going. This was all post November 2nd when this billboard went up, because everyone thought they had won. They had won. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's ego or whatnot, because you don't have the law on your side, is you just wouldn't back off. So you had to hold the hands of the residents of League Estates. You dropped a traffic survey in after the fact and charged thousands of dollars worth of fines to people solely just to have billboards for your last presentation. That was terrible. What's interesting about that too is in the last FOIA request, what was supplied in those 1,000 pages and what was supplied in the FOIA request were pretty different. So I'm not sure exactly what people are looking at or what kind of information they're getting me, but it's not right. You know, I've identified things that I found online electronically, which was what my request was, all electronic communications, that was not supplied to me via the FOIA request. So I'm being withheld information at this point. But, you know, I'm still coming. You know, I'm still here. Like the mayor said, and not to point anyone in particular, I'm sorry, but like you told one of the folks there, the wheels of the government can churn slowly. My wheels might churn slowly, but I'm still coming.
Thank you, Mr. O'Rear. All right. Next on our agenda is staff reports. We start with our monthly financial report from Finance Director Christine Farina. Director Farina.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A few highlights from the February financial report. General revenue. General fund revenues for February were $4.8 million. Year-to-date revenues were $14.7 million, and that's 66% of the budget. February expenses were $1.4 million. Expenses year-to-date are $13 million, and that's 59% of the budget. Sewer fund revenues for February were $188,000. Year-to-date is $1.4 million, and that's 67% of the budget. February expenses for the sewer fund were $56,000. Year to date was $618,000, and that's 54% of the budget. The hospitality accommodations fund revenues for February were $303,000. Year to date is $2.1 million, and that's 68% of the budget. The February expenses were $677. Year to date, the expenses were just over $2.1 million, and that's 97% of the budget. The Public Works Enterprise Fund revenues for February were just over $1 million, bringing the year-to-date to $1.5 million, which is 101% of the budget. February expenses were $55,000. Year-to-date is $513,000, and that's 48% of the budget.
Are there any questions from you, Council? I have a couple for you, Director Farina. Starting with the general fund, we have about, it appears to me, with a $21 million budget and $14.7 million so far coming in, that we're about $6.5 million to go, and last year for the same coming 4 months, March, April, May, June, we brought in about $7.5 million. Do you anticipate it being the same or less or more?
I anticipate it will come within budget, I think. Really the only place is the building permits that we're low in, but all our other revenues should be.
And kind of a similar question on the expenditures. We're still $9.2 million below where we're budgeted for expenditures, and last year for the same remaining period we spent about $7 million. Again, are we anticipating it being similar?
Yes.
Okay. On, again, it's just the same thing I'm looking at. On the sewer fund, we've got $729,000
left against that, that budget of, you know, the revenue. And last year, for the same 4 months, we only brought in $690,000 of revenue from March, April, May, and June. So a little snug there, or do you think we're going to be okay on that as well?
I think we should be fine on that also. Revenues on that are pretty stable.
And then I guess my final question is on expenditures. Do you expect expenditures for the next 4 months to be above or below for the same 4 months from last year?
They should be similar to last year.
I figured those were the answers that I would get, but I just wanted to be sure that, you know, it was looking like it was a little bit tight in a couple of places. I just want to make sure that, you know, we don't have any surprises between now and the end of the fiscal year. Okay. Anything else from council for Director Farina? All right, thank you. Next is economic development from our planning and economic development director, Jason Benson. Director Benson.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Talking about building permits, it looks like we've kind of seen a little bit of a plateau from decrease that we've seen. And that's kind of to be expected with the interest rates going up and the costs not coming down yet. But we are kind of seeing like that plateau. With permits or with business licenses, though, we're going to start seeing people renewing their licenses for the year. So in our report, you can see there's kind of an uptick for that category. We'll see quite a rise over the next few months. The Scufftown Food Truck Park ID, which is over there by Aldi's and IHOP and all those, they've got their approval now. So they just need to go through their final permitting with the county. Start seeing some progress over there. And I imagine with the size of that, you know, it's not a very big project. We'll probably have a quick build out on that. And hopefully they're up and running for the nice summer weather we'll be having. Planning Commission had a fenestration review, which was approved by the Planning Commission for an out parcel over there, Worm Farm. And Board of Zoning Appeals approved a multifamily request as a special exception on Jones, where multifamily is already in use. If you have any other, or if you have any questions, be free to answer those.
Any questions from council? Councilmember Hutchings.
On the food truck park, what were we waiting on initially for the final approval? That was it. Wasn't it something to do with the renderings?
You'd asked for renderings. I talked to John about that after the last meeting. He brought that up, and ID had already been approved by that point, and so they didn't really do any updated renderings or anything. You do have a site plan if you want to see that. By all means, make that available to you.
And can you remind me what the Simpsonville Elementary School expansion is?
So they're adding on to the school. They're going to be increasing the length for drop off and pick up. They're adding on a whole new wing to the school.
Thank you.
Any others? Councilmember Root.
Real quick, in regards to the Outback property, I've seen some activity. Have you been out there? It looks. Is that structure going to be the size of the building? It looks. Is that just like a first phase? Because it looks tiny.
It's not a big building.
Okay.
It is one of their, they've gone to smaller footprints in the past, and so it's one of their newer models. You want the first in the area that has its design. They're confident, though, that it's sized appropriately. We'll see.
It'll always be full.
That's right.
I promise you that. My wife looked at it and said, I think it's just like the first phase.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Thank you. Any further questions for Director Benson? Thank you. Next is our Community Relations Specialist report from Community Relations Specialist Dustin Campbell.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As far as priorities, or community relations for quarter one of 2023. Those were to publish the spring edition of the newsletter, a successful hometown legislative action day dinner, and commit to more community initiatives. So the newsletter was published on time. The dinner was a success. Feedback was positive. Community initiatives that were held were January and March blood drives that collected 44 units of blood. For United Way, we participated in an MLK Day of Service, and the employees of the City of Simpsonville were awarded both the Chairman's Award and Campaign Award of Excellence from the United Way for their contributions in their pledge campaign to help improve the quality of life for all people in Greenville County. And Public Works participated in Careers on Wheels Day. Mr. West was there. A couple of other guys were there. They brought a truck that, I don't know what it's called, but it picks up something. The kids wanted to honk the horn. That was all they wanted to do or cared about. And so I really appreciate Mr. West and his department for seeing the importance of getting out there in the community. Priorities for quarter two are publication of the summer edition. That'll be June 6th. And a successful 2023 season of the Simpsonville Music Series and Food Truck Rodeo. The lineups for the concerts and Food Truck Rodeo have been announced. We have 8 new bands and 5 new food trucks, and promotion has already started. More community initiatives planned for the second quarter are continuing with the Youth Advisory Board, which is meeting on April 19th. There will be a cleanup day to pick up litter in April as well. We're participating in Hands on Greenville Day with United Way in May, and we will have a blood drive during Law Enforcement Appreciation Week in May. The digital town hall is now live with the Municipal Complex and Reimagine City Park project, and as downtown improvements start happening, we'll get even more projects on that platform. Child Abuse Prevention Month kickoff is this Friday at 10 o'clock at PD. Our new victims advocate, Emily Smith, is hosting. She has done a great job from my experience in working with her. And so I hope if you can make it, you will be there. And as far as community engagement, about 22% has been positive online, 1% negative. Entertainment drove positive sentiments. So we're talking about the Arts Center, the music, a series of food truck rodeo announcements, and the announcement of Three Doors Down at the CCMB Amphitheater. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Council? Councilmember Hutchings.
I just want to say good job on the newsletter. A lot of good information in there. I see it being shared with our neighborhood groups online. If needed, can we get any copies of that printed? A few copies printed?
Yes, of course. I can even bind them at City Hall and have some for you to keep in your offices or keep with you. But yes, sir, I can do that.
Thank you.
Further comments? Councilmember Gooch.
Yeah, the social media engagement, this is the service we use. It helps us learn about our social media engagement. Is that where you're getting data from?
Yes, sir.
22% positive?
Yes, and so you have 22% positive, 1% negative, and then the rest of that is going to be neutral.
Just out of curiosity, what's the 1% negative?
It has to do with some of that is capturing people's being concerned about lost pets on the TV's page.
Okay.
So we have to adjust for that. And then there's also people might not like a show at the Arts Center, or I have a comment that's negative about that, or other concerts. But overwhelmingly, people are excited about what's happening in Simpsonville, whether it's concerts, ballet performances coming up at the Arts Center, what's going on with the music series, and of course, the PD helping dogs find their homes.
Everybody likes to find a dog a home. That seems to be more of the entertainment field. Are other areas that we're able to get data from that you're seeing?
I will do a more in-depth look at that, and I can get that to you tomorrow.
Okay, no rush. If you can, I'd like to see if it's picking up on other things as well. Thank you.
Council? Thank you, Mr. Campbell.
Thank you, Mayor.
Next up is our City Administrator Report. Administrator Gracely.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'm going to hit a few highlights from the report, things that I want to make sure I point out to you. First and foremost, and I think most of you are already aware of this, the city has been awarded the Joseph P. Riley Jr. Award for Economic Development for our Simpsonville Arts Center, and we are absolutely elated about that. The annual meeting for the Municipal Association is in Greenville this summer, and so I hope that we'll all be in attendance at the awards breakfast. They're going to be coming here on May 11th to film the video that highlights that project to show to all of the folks in attendance at the awards breakfast for the summer meeting. An update on the municipal complex. I just want to make sure that you all are aware of funding for the project. You know, when we borrowed the installment purchase revenue bonds back in June of 21, we based that number on estimates that were provided, just very preliminary cost estimates from the architect. Of course, none of us anticipated the cost escalations that we have seen that are just, you know, unprecedented. Also, rather than just do the ball fields in City Park, we opted to do a full redesign of City Park because it seemed a little counterintuitive to have these beautiful new buildings in the complex with a park that was a bit lackluster behind there. So that added cost to the project as well. But I just want to make you all aware of the funding. So the entirety of the installment purchase revenue bonds, which was initially at $12.5 million, but then we were able to gain some additional funding when we first sold those bonds. So that ended up being about $12.9 million, and then we have since reinvested that money because we weren't using it right away. So we're gaining some additional revenue from that. Also, as you know, we received ARPA funding, and all of the proceeds from the ARPA funding are going into the park renovations. Because we were able to change that from project-driven use of those funds to revenue replacement, which put no restrictions essentially on how the funding was spent, we were able to add that. We also, as you heard the auditor give that presentation a couple months ago, have a very healthy fund balance, so we're going to spend down some of the fund balance on this project. So the funding is there. I just want to make sure you all are aware of where that's coming from. And I'd be happy to go into detail with you on that or answer any questions you have about it. Last night, Chief Williams and I attended the County Council Finance Committee meeting to request that the fire service area pay half the cost of the new heavy rescue truck to serve the six stations in Simpsonville, half of which are in the fire service area. We got a favorable review from that, and that matter is being moved on to full council for approval. So they will adopt the bond ordinance to pay for half the cost, and then what we're doing, and you'll see this when I do the budget presentation next month, our half will be put in annually through our budget, through our operating budget, into our capital reserve account. The total cost is about $1.6 million. It's a very expensive piece of equipment, but we don't anticipate delivery of that for 3 years because they're so far out on the orders. So we just need to order it at the beginning of the budget year, but we won't take delivery of that for 3 years. So we'll just be allocating revenue each operating budget into the capital projects fund to pay for our half of that. I just want to make you aware of the request before County Council so that if anybody asks you about it, you'll know what that is. Just one quick correction. I had mentioned to you all that we moved our ARPA funds and a large portion of our fund balance into a money market account. Initially, that account was paying at 3%. We are now earning 4.6% on that. So again, the proceeds from those earnings are going into the municipal complex project. I refer to the fact that work is underway on the FY24 budget. We have reconciled all of the revenue projections and anticipated expenditures. The only thing we don't have currently is our health premium renewal with Blue Choice. They're supposed to get that to us this week. So as soon as we have a definitive number there, I'll be able to, Ms. Farina and I'll be able to complete the budget. And I'll send that out to you, and please come and sit down with me if you have any questions. But that will be presented at next month's committee of the whole. And that's all I really wanted to highlight, that I can answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for Mr. Anderson? Councilmember Gooch.
Thank you. Let's go from the back to the front here.
Okay.
As far as the health insurance costs, are you anticipating an increase?
Yes. We have never had a year where we did not have an increase. Now, last year, we were very fortunate. It was a very nominal increase. I think we ended up around 2%, which is amazing. It's a negligible amount. So we have reserved a 10% renewal increase in the budget that we have put together now, because we don't want to wait. We can't possibly wait for that renewal to come in to start working on the budget. So we have a very loosely based budget depending on how that renewal comes in.
Is the supplemental care proactive MD still part of that budget?
It is.
That's helped us hold costs down.
And it has helped hold costs down. And so I'm very hopeful that we'll see a lower than market renewal again this year because of that. And then some of our higher, you know, everything is age rated and, you know, based on claims and some of the higher costs, we've eliminated some of that over the course of the last few months. So we're hopeful that then the renewal will reflect that.
The Capital Improvement Fund.
Yes.
Sort of a global question on that. There's been rumors here and there and some about a capital improvement tax, but I know that's a state level issue, nothing we can implement locally as I understand it. Have you heard anything from legislators about allowing municipalities to implement?
The Municipal Association has been advocating for capital project sales taxes forever, and some communities use those successfully. We unfortunately, you know, Greenville County a few years ago tried to pass the capital improvement sales tax for road improvements, and that did not go over well at all. It was defeated by a 2-1 margin. I think if anything, that would be the next initiative. I actually have had a conversation with the county council chairman about addressing road needs and that being the best way to do it. And I'm actually hosting our county manager's breakfast in the morning, and the county administrator's going to come. And that's on the agenda for discussion. We don't think that it's appropriate to haphazardly put a list of road projects together and be ready for the next election to have on the referendum. It's likely going to be a 2026 referendum on the ballot.
Okay.
With a comprehensive list of very detailed road projects, because that was the mistake they made the first time. You know, they tried to have these meetings in different parts of the county and just road projects in from all over the county to appease voters, and it was quite clear it was not a very well thought out plan. So hopefully if they decide to do it again, and of course that's a county council initiative to put that referendum on the ballot, they will be much more thoughtful in their approach, because we really need an answer to the funding deficiencies in our roads. And you know, the gas tax has helped a lot with resurfacing, but not with expansion projects or safety projects.
Sure, that gas tax goes more towards state projects than local and county.
Correct.
The fire truck, $1.6 million.
Yes.
Is that price locked in? Are they going to come back in 3 years and say, sorry, but
it will be locked in when it's ordered. So it's still a little fluid right now. Plus, they're still looking at different types of equipment that would be installed on that apparatus. But we believe the number is somewhere between $1.5 and $1.6 million.
I understand why we need that, but for the record, can you briefly explain why we need a truck of that magnitude, that expense, that does all the things this truck does for Simpsonville?
Right. So we currently have a heavy rescue truck. That's the one that's in the Christmas parade every year, for those of you who are wondering what it looks like. I may have the battalion chief come up and explain it to you in a little more detail, but I can tell you that the heavy rescue truck does many things. It does swift water rescue, it does confined space rescue. If a car runs into a building and there's, you know, the possibility of a collapse, it shores up that while, you know, firefighters get the building permanently shored up. It's used for extrications if there's a vehicle accident. It does a lot of everything. It actually gets dispatched out to every call in the fire service area with the exception of medical calls. So it's there for, it has a lot of use. And our current model is a 2009 model. And I don't have right in front of me the exact number of hours on it. That's what you measure in hours more than in miles when it comes to fire apparatus. But it is quite a lot. In fact, we are currently, well, I think we finished it now. We just last week replaced the engine in that truck because we have to have it. It's also used for mutual aid, so it goes to other departments that do not have that equipment because we are one of the largest fire service areas in the county. And so, of course, that's why the county is willing to support additional bond debt to purchase a new one. We will retain the current one that we have. It would just be put in as a reserve, heavy rescue.
And when we have equipment like that in the city, in fire service area, does that affect a homeowner's insurance rates?
You know, insurance rates are a strange thing. So we do have a great insurance rating, and that helps. But lately, the last 10 years or so, things have shifted more toward, because most claims are weather-based claims. They're not necessarily from fires. So a lot of those things have changed, and it's based really more on weather patterns, where you're geographically located, more so than, you know, what used to be the former. I mean, we still do want to maintain the best ISO rating we have, and yes, having all of that equipment keeps our ISO rating very low, which is where you want to be. In this case, you want to be low, not high.
Yeah. Municipal complex. Yes. Do we have a timeline set yet? I know they're starting to do a few things, but mm-hmm. when are we going to see earth move? And
so we are, last Friday, the landscape architects and civil engineering team had hoped that they were giving the final comments back to Greenville County for the land disturbance. Greenville County will not be the one issuing the permit out. It will actually come from DHEC because of the potential conflict, because we're an NPDES permit holder along with Greenville County. So there's an inherent conflict there, but Greenville County does the initial review. And so the fact that we've gone back and forth on comments with them, we believe means that the DHEC review will be much easier and much shorter. We have requested an expedited permit, which means at most they have 10 business days to issue a permit to us from the time they receive it. So I have a call in the morning with the LAs and the civil, and I'll find out if that got submitted to DHEC in the morning. But hopefully we got all of those questions answered with Greenville County late last week, and it did get submitted to DHEC, so that clock is ticking.
So a bureaucracy waiting on a bureaucracy.
Yes.
That's great.
Okay. Absolutely.
The last thing, and this is probably more of a statement than a question, I think it's wonderful that we've received the award for economic development, especially for the Arts Center. If I had one spot of pride to point out the top, it would be that building, because it wasn't me. I had a piece of it. Most of the community stepped up when that building was being debated on basically turning it into a government office. And I'm so proud of our community for stepping up and saying, absolutely not, we're not doing that, and making that community building what it is. And that was done through staff and through council. And most of the community stepped up and did it. And now it has shown that the community was right in their choice of keeping that building the way it was and making it better than it. Thank you.
And I mentioned that I'm hosting the manager's breakfast in the morning. I'm hosting it at the Arts Center because I want to show that off to all of my colleagues.
Councilmember Roche.
So since the funding for the streets that we had slated for 2023, not the funding, but the backlog of projects is pushing that to 2024, will we have a new list that will also be done for 2024?
Yes.
Okay. So we can expect probably double the number of streets.
You can expect at least a dozen, maybe as many as 15, depending on the length of the streets and the amount for paving. But yes, those that are currently listed for this calendar year will be paid next year, plus the new ones, which we will identify in the early fall, later this year.
And what is the procedure if a neighborhood wants to have their street evaluated? Do I just tell them it happens?
We evaluate all of the streets. In fact, Terry Bragg, who was formerly with Co-Transco, is now working part-time with us. And, you know, Terry retired from SCDOT. He worked for Co-Transco for 20 years and has extensive experience. So we are utilizing his expertise to help with the rankings this year.
And then do we have any sort of hand at all? I've had constituents ask, when is Fairview Road going to get resurfaced? Or, you know, we've got a lot of potholes and crazy and stuff from the wet weather that we've had the last couple of years. And of course, that's not ours to do. But there is an assumption that we can pull some strings. Can you speak to that a little bit about just what we can do from here?
Mr. Knudsen and I have a quarterly meeting with SCDOT, with the Traffic Engineering Office, Permitting Office, and maintenance to talk about various issues and where we are in the pipeline as far as projects being done. We specifically asked about paving projects every single quarter that we have these meetings. And one of the things that we've been begging for since I've been here is that section of West Georgia Road from 385 coming into town. It's far worse than Fairview Road. And we keep hearing it's not on the list, it's not on the list. But the last meeting we had with them, which was about 2 weeks ago, they did say that they were that, you know, basically they go out and do all these patches and the patches are right away within a couple weeks. So now they're working really hard to bump that up on this list. So we've been advocating for that for quite some time, and hopefully we're going to get it. In fact, I said it would be really nice if it coincided with what we're doing on Maple, because, you know, our downtown revitalization will start at Maple Street, coming from that direction. And it would be really nice to have a newly resurfaced stretch of road all the way from 385 into downtown. So I can keep you posted on that. I can tell you it's very difficult. We have a great rapport with them, and, you know, they're just stretched so thin on projects. And they're having the same issue that we're having with our road paving. You know, they may have projects that are in the pipeline, and they're just delayed because there aren't enough contractors to do all the work. But we are trying to get West Georgia on the list, and we can certainly take a look at Fairview and advocate for that.
Is it any faster to get areas relined, like where the paint is gone? You can't tell when you're turning left if you're in your lane or the next lane. Are they any quicker about that? Because we have some areas that really need to.
That is a different pot of money. So yeah, I mean, I would say shoot me an email with those specific locations and let us put a request in, and then individual residents can call the maintenance office too and put those requests in. Sometimes, you know, squeaky wheel gets the grease. So the more we continually repeat these problem areas to them, hopefully the more results we'll have. Another thing we've been waiting on for quite some time are all the interstate signs on 385. The reflective quality is completely gone on those. And we've been talking about that for 2 years, and it's been funded. They're just waiting on the sign company that has the contract to catch up and get those installed. So that's coming too. There are a lot of things that are coming. They're just very backlogged.
So the city is communicating regularly.
Absolutely.
Everything we can, but
yes,
we're limited by what they're going to provide. Thank
absolutely.
You.
Thank you.
Councilman Rogers.
A few questions. The parking signage, we talked about that a while back. I know I attended a couple of the shows that Milltown did lately, and I didn't see any parking problems. It seemed like everybody found a place to park. But how are we doing on signage for parking?
So we have the materials to make the signage for that, but we've sort of held back on it because we were waiting to see if people did. You know, water flows where it flows, and it seems like you're right, everybody's figured it out on their own without those parking signs out there. So we haven't made them yet. We were just sort of waiting to see how everything worked out. And it seems to be working out pretty well. Because there's, as you know, you can see from the map and the report, 426 stalls of parking in that general vicinity without even counting across Curtis Street.
Well, I initially was campaigning for those, but I think what I saw with my experience is I didn't see any problems and I didn't hear any complaints. And will this, I guess the wayfaring signs we're doing for the revitalization will be duplicate of those if we were to do something then anyway, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I know Mr. Knudsen has started working on that wayfinding signage plan, even though it's going to be a while before we install those, because obviously we don't want to install wayfinding signage when we're about to tear all the streets up downtown. And then locations are changing. You know, the physical location of this building, for instance, is moving. So, but yeah, all the parking signage will be included in that.
So far, so good. And I appreciate what you've done with the theater itself so that we can still have access for the Milltown folks to get in and out. And like I said, I heard no complaints, saw no problems. And we had a full house for both the times that I was there. Playground equipment. Have we removed the old equipment from City Park?
I think all of that's been removed, yes.
And none of that can be reused, right?
No. It's a liability issue, and it's hard to say that that can't be reused, because we had some requests. We actually had one of our firefighters who wanted to take some of that equipment to his church, but we just can't allow it to go, because if there are any injuries, it comes back on the city. Because there are so many regulations that govern the installation of playground equipment and the board and play, that we just can't assume the liability. We had explored the cost of moving the existing equipment to the new playground location, but because of the way it has to be uninstalled and reinstalled, it was just as much to move existing as it would have been to buy new.
So what do we do with that?
It gets thrown away.
Right. I had a question that came up about the sensory play equipment that we had previously. Do we have any of that scheduled to go into the
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, sensory equipment is the touch and sight and smell. You know, it's not, I want to make sure everybody understands, it's not equipment for children who are in wheelchairs or have certain disabilities. It is sensory playground equipment, meaning, you know, all kids can play with it. And it's to heighten the senses and you know, give kids who are physically incapable of doing certain play to have an area where they can have that play. But yes, all of those elements are going to be repeated in the new playground.
And zip line too.
Oh, the zip line, first and foremost. I made sure that the contractor was aware, the design team and the contractor.
On the downtown revitalization design, once that's completed or ready for approval, will we have a chance to show that to the public?
Yes. I think what we likely should do is, as soon as all the landscape, streetscape elements are in there, the electrical engineer has located all the street lighting, we should host another public hearing and let the public come in and review those plans.
You and I had a discussion earlier about Frontier laying a fiber optic cable. I've got a few inquiries about that, as you know. Do we have any kind of public notice out on that, just to let people know that that's happening so that they don't... the person that called me today said people showed up in front of their house and they didn't speak English and they couldn't figure out what was going on. And, you know, is there anything we can do to help maybe relieve that?
We can put information on the homepage of the website that flashes across the banner to let people know what that is. It is Frontier installing fiber optic cable throughout the city for faster internet. We don't have any control over the work that they're doing, other than if they're not following protocols. You know, make sure they have their utility locates, that they're leaving the right of way back in the condition they found it. Aside from that, we don't really have any control over what they're doing, but we might ask Mr. West if Public Works has had any phone calls or complaints about it. I'd be curious to know.
We did have one email, I think Justin had one too, from the same gentleman over on Neely Ferry. And we echoed pretty much what Commissioner Gracie said. It's really out of our control as far as scheduling and when they're going to be there, when they're not going to be there, but we can make sure they put things back the way they were found. Matter of fact, they have to put encroachment permits in through our system for us to approve. Sometimes they use existing utility group or easements that may be between houses. We have no control over that. That's their existing easement. It may go to a cable box or a pedestal behind the house. But yeah, they contacted us. And John and I work pretty close together on those encroachment permits for that.
So if someone does have a question, you encourage them to call?
The office, and we can get the information from the contractor slips of my own, but it's not Frontier, it's a contractor for Frontier. And we can reach out to them and address any issues that might come up.
And how are they determining where this cable's going?
That I don't know. That was determined by Frontier.
So it's not going all the elements, but just in certain ones?
Well, I think it's going to be citywide. Usually I would have to check with John on that, because John has talked with the contractor as well, but I think it's upgrading their entire network at some point. It's not going to happen within the next few months, but it's going to be an ongoing process for a little while.
Thank you.
And I'll just say, you know, we can handle the encroachment permits on our city streets, but DOT will handle encroachment permits on their roads, so we don't even have control over what's happening on state roads.
And a while back we talked a good bit about economic recruitment of businesses in Simpsonville. Are we still actively working in that direction?
Yes, we are meeting with developers almost constantly. And I think it's probably wise for us to, at some point in the near future, update our market analysis, because it's been a little while since we've done that. That also helps us identify where there's retail linkage outside of the city, you know, and certain businesses that we can target. But, you know, they seem to be finding their way here pretty easily.
Finally, I know we said that we don't have any control over bookings for the acts that come to our Heritage Park, to the amphitheater, and the other venues that we have a contract with TRC on. But is there some way we could possibly communicate to them as a council that, you know, we would like to be a little, cognizant of the groups that they're bringing in and the impact on the community before they...
I have relayed that to them, and Mr. Reap actually wrote an email that I forwarded to them as well. And you're welcome to do that. I think it would be better coming from individual members of council, unless this body wants to take up, you know, put an item on the agenda and take up action. But I think it's just as effective coming from individual members, and I have relayed that to them as well. And I, you know, I alluded to that in my report because I wanted to make sure that everyone understands that City Council does not hold any leverage or authority on booking the entertainment that comes. You know, we certainly have a good relationship with PRC, and we can let them know that there are things that we would like to see and things that we would prefer that they not bring here. They too are bound with a contract with Live Nation, and we're getting more acts as a result of that, so that's a good thing. But, you know, occasionally we get an act that is not really, you know, in keeping with our community standards, and it's unfortunate that we lack control over that. But, you know, I would just encourage everyone to make those feelings known. If you want to send that to me, I can forward it on to them. I know that Mr. Reed received a reply from TRZ that they'd be happy to sit down and meet and talk about it. So I'm sure they'd be willing to do the same with you or with any member of council.
And you said you've already sent communication to them?
Yes.
Could I see a copy of that?
Well, it's Mr. Reed's communication. I called them. I didn't send them any kind of email. I forwarded his email, but I did call them and let them know that, you know, there had been a few complaints about the nature of one particular band and that, you know, it would be great in the future if we could try to avoid those.
And should we send that communication to TRZ only or TRZ and Live Nation?
I think to TRZ only, and that they can relay that to Live Nation, because we don't actually have a contract with Live Nation. Our contract is with TRZ. And the reason we have a contract with TRZ is because they have this arrangement with Live Nation. So it is good in many respects, but then occasionally, you know, we have a problem. But, you know, I do think it's important for people to understand that they do not need to call CCMB. CCMB has even less control than we have, and we have none. So, you know, I would encourage people to not call the naming sponsor for the venue, because it has absolutely nothing to do with them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Rip, hold one moment, Councilman Rip. City Clerk Clark, would you let the record reflect that Councilmember Cummings had to leave the meeting at 7:12 p.m.?
Yes, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple quick questions. For the money for the park, you said it's grown to 12.9 million plus whatever interest we'll get from that, and then there's ARPA money. Do you have any idea what kind of dollars we're talking about for the ARPA money?
We have $12 million in ARPA money.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking it was 10, but it's even better. Okay.
And we have a $10 million excess fund balance. If you recall, the auditor said 18 million unrestricted, but of course, we need to maintain at least a 30% fund balance. So we have transferred 10 million of the fund balance into a money market that's yielding now 4.6%. Those go into that project as well. Plus the initial installment purchase revenue bond sale that we did in June of 21.
Okay, all right. The fire truck. So when we actually put in that order, at what point do we start paying for that? How much and how many future years budgets is that going to affect?
We won't pay anything until we take delivery on the truck.
Okay.
There used to be some incentive with these companies to pay up front, and they would give you a discount. But we also were able to get the equipment within 9 to 12 months. Now they're 3 years out. So we're not incurring any new debt with this. We're just dissolving. We're bringing that annual payment of roughly $250,000 into our operating budget, which we will then set aside into a capital projects fund. So 3 years. This current budget upcoming that you all see next month, and then FY25 and FY26.
So if the county pays half, we're looking at financing around 800,000.
750 to 800, yes. Because we're anywhere between 1.5 and 1.6 million. We just don't have the exact dollar amount yet. Now, the county will do a bond debt. They'll do a GO bond for their half.
Okay.
And that will be a 7-year installment. It'll be about a 1 mil increase for all of the residents in the fire service area. They're not city residents, they're residents of the fire service area.
So when the city does incur that debt, it'll be 2027?
That's when we'll have the actual expenditure. Yes.
So what will that look like from that budget to how many future budgets? How much are we adding to?
We're absorbing the costs for the next 3 years, okay, into our operating budget.
I see.
For FY 24, 25, and 26.
So when it comes, it will be?
We'll have the money in the bank ready to pay the bill.
Okay, very good. All right. That was my next question. So thank you. The other question I have, and maybe I think Chief Williams is kind of, you said the battalion chief,
yes,
is here. I'm just curious, can I ask you a quick question, sir? Thank you. I was just wondering, the 2009 model that we have, is it, and you can answer the first part of this question, perhaps Battalion Chief can answer the second half, Is it custom for cities to sell those to maybe cities that need it and we incur some of those costs?
We have done that before. We've also, in the case of some really old equipment, we've donated it to very small fire departments that really need the help because there's not much value left in the equipment. This particular piece of equipment is still very valuable. We thought that it was more prudent to keep it in our fleet of equipment rather than to sell it off, because it then becomes a reserve heavy rescue vehicle if we had a major incident, or if we had a mechanical problem with the new one in a few years, then we would have a backup.
Okay.
We don't like being without it.
I guess my question to the chief is, it's hard probably for you to answer, I'm not looking for a specific number, but has this been on the scene where there was another accident at the same time where we really could have, y'all have said as a department, man, we could really use the second one over here. Would they both be running a lot at the same time, or would one just be sitting in storage a lot?
Well, the reserve truck wouldn't be staffed. It would be sitting in reserve in case the primary truck, let's say, goes out of service for mechanical reasons or whatever, we'd be able to move that truck back in. Now we're using our old service truck, which carries very little of the actual equipment that the primary truck carries just because of the size difference.
So there's a reason why we wouldn't run both at the same time versus one just in, one basically in storage until, unless the main one was broken. It seems like the city could incur a lot of money for that if it's not being used. That's kind of where I'm coming. And probably questions I'm gonna get asked from the public as well.
Yeah.
So that's what I was wondering, if they were both running at the same time, or would one actually be in a reserve role where it would be sitting there?
Yeah, it would be sitting, but it's daily that we've got something that's somewhere in shop. We've got reserve engines for that reason. That way, whenever the primary truck goes down, we can move the truck in. That's the reason we have a replacement policy and all, to keep a good reserve in that can go frontline at any point in time that's needed.
Okay. All right. I didn't know how that worked. Thank you.
And,
I think that's all. Thank you.
Council? Thank you, Administrator Basley. Get to be quiet for just a second because we're going on to, before I go on to the agenda items, we do, as usual, have all of our department heads here who don't typically come up and make a report, or they're capable substitutes this evening. We have a couple of department heads who weren't able to make it. But is there any questions from their reports that each of you have received more than what we've already spoken to them? Okay, then. I thank you all for being here and delivering the reports to us this evening. So next is our only business item. 7A, presentation of ordinance O-2023-01, MASC Local Revenue Services. Administrator Gracely, will you summarize, please?
Yes, Mayor. If we could go back just a moment on the agenda, did we give approval of the minutes? Clark Clark was just saying that she doesn't recall us having an approval of the minutes this
Thank
evening.
Thank you. I did miss that. I appreciate that correction. So we will circle back to approval of the minutes. Each member of council will have received a copy of the minutes. Were there any corrections? And hearing none, they will stand approved as written. Thank you, Clark. I appreciate you not letting us forget that. Okay, so item 7A, presentation of ordinance O-2023-01, MASC Local Revenue Services. Administrator Gracely.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. If I do my job well and explain this the way I hope I can explain it, then this should be a pretty simple matter to come before council. As you all know, the Municipal Association offers collection programs for certain business license taxes on behalf of the city. The programs include the insurance tax collection program, the broker's tax collection program, and the telecommunications tax program. The Municipal Association has recently rebranded the department that handles the collections, and they now refer themselves as Local Revenue Services, that entire department. And so they renamed the three business license programs to insurance tax program, brokerage tax program, telecommunication tax program. And they have acronyms that go with those. What they're asking us to do, because as you know, we standardized the business license ordinance last year based on a change in state law. Because of that, we need to change the way we refer to these programs as well. So what they're asking us to do is, by ordinance, have council approve the ordinance that gives me the authority to sign the supplement and the agreement exactly as they have written and sent to us. You have that information as backup in your council packets. It's standard language, and it's essentially so they can continue collecting and then remitting those taxes on our behalf. The mayor asked Ms. Farino earlier about where we are in terms of revenue collections year to date. I will say, and you all are probably aware, that the bulk of the revenues left to be collected for the last 4 months. In fact, usually June, right at the end of the fiscal year, is when we get these taxes from the Municipal Association remitted back to us. It is a substantial amount of money. It's a large portion of our budget. So we need to make sure that we get this right. So you'll see over the next few months, we'll have some revenues trickling in, but the majority of the remaining revenues left to be collected for this fiscal year will come in June in the form of these particular tax programs. So essentially what we're doing is having council adopt an ordinance. If you move this to the business meeting, it will need two readings. They've asked that we accomplish this by May 26th, so they didn't give us much time to do it. We just got this email a couple weeks ago. So we've filled in the agreement, we filled in the supplemental and the ordinance to our format, and so we're asking council to adopt the ordinance that would allow me to sign the supplemental and the agreement.
Thank you. The motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council approve presentation of ordinance 2023-01 MASC Local Revenue Services.
The motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? Mm-hmm. Councilmember Roche.
And just for clarification, this would move it to the next meeting, which would actually be the first reading.
That is correct. Okay. And then we would have second reading at the business meeting in May.
Okay, thank you.
Council. Right, hearing no further discussion, on the motion to approve the presentation of ordinance O-2023-01, MASC Local Revenue Services, all those in favor signify by saying yes. 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 All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. If there are no objections, we will stand adjourned.